Good morning, and welcome to Food Talk.
Yay, Food Talk.
Yay, Food Talk. Let's talk food, Linda Perkins. I'm Marianne Myers, and the two of us are here to talk food.
Let's whisper food today.
Why?
Oh, that would be stupid and hard. Okay. We could do vocal fray food, not food talk, food vocal fray.
This is not annoy the listener during the program, although there are times.
Oh, it might be.
Yeah, right.
Well, yet to be determined.
It's all been accidental. Occidental, too.
Occidental. I don't have an apron on.
Yeah, what's the occasion?
Just forgot. Totally forgot. It would have been an extra layer of clothing, so it would have been good.
Yeah,
if
that's
I
right.
Landed on the ice, it would have been a little protection, but no. I just forgot.
Well, I bet you haven't forgotten to cook. I bet you've been cooking.
Just because it heats the house.
I know. It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And it perfumes the house all at once. It's a very nice situation.
Yeah. So, let's see. I made some fried rice. That's not very exciting. But I was feeling really lazy. I mean, like, really lazy. Like, I don't want to stand at the wok that long. I mean, it's not that long, right? So I roasted a bunch of the vegetables. Like,
oh, right.
Like things that are good when they're roasted. Like, usually if I put some delicata squash in something like fried rice or teriyaki noodles or something like that, I'll roast that. So I was going to have the oven going anyway. So I did the broccoli and I did the mushrooms and I did a bunch of the vegetables. I did the carrots. I roasted them. So I was only at the wok like 3 minutes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I got to stay lazy.
Because you use your outdoor wok, right?
Yes.
No wonder you don't want
to. I know. My little icicle toes. So, and also sometimes when it's cold, stuff just doesn't turn out that good, you know?
Yeah.
Because you're flipping it in the air and it's like, burr! And it's back to the beginning where it was, you know, room temperature. So, anyway, even though I roasted a bunch of the vegetables, it turned out pretty good. It was better than I thought it was going to be. Just because I really like that wok hay, you know, that smoky wok flavor. But cooking the rice in the wok, it was enough. I didn't have to do all the vegetables. It still had that really good flavor. So
that's great.
Yeah.
I made fried rice too. I think
since jinx.
I saw your rice. I know.
Great minds.
You owe me a Coke. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fried rice is one of those fabulous ways to empty the veg drawer.
Oh, it is. Just that and then quiche. And in the olden days, for me, it used to be egg rolls and wontons. I mean,
oh,
you can
yeah.
put anything in an egg roll, anything in a wonton. And then I think I might have done my lifetime's allotment. And then I moved to fried rice and quiche. But
yeah.
It is. It sounds so bad if you say it's a garbage dish, but it's just you can put anything in it.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
It tastes great.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all the seasonings, too, you
yeah.
know. So and I always throw a bunch of kimchi in there, which makes everything happier.
Yeah.
all of its compatriots yeah. are happier.
Do you remember Kim's Kitchen in Warrenton?
Yes.
She sold her kimchi. Like, you could just bring a bottle in and she'd fill it.
Yeah.
And that was so good. I really miss that. I
always had a quart of her kimchi in the fridge.
Yeah.
Always.
It was so delicious.
It was
There's
the
nothing
best
like it.
Ever.
Yeah.
It was the best ever. We miss you, Kim.
Yeah.
So fried rice.
And, let's see. I haven't been making anything really exciting. I've been trying to make a chocolate bread. There was a place in St. Paul when I lived in Minneapolis, and it was called Bread and Chocolate, and they had a loaf of chocolate bread. It wasn't like how most chocolate breads are, like quick breads, like zucchini bread,
yes,
you know,
yes.
with a lot of chocolate, but it was a yeast bread, and it was really good. And so I've been making some decent ones. And now my quandary is, how do you toast them? Because it's so good toasted, you know, without accidentally setting your house on fire, because I put chunks of chocolate in it, you know, so that there's that danger of them melting in the toaster and, you know, catching on fire, which is bad.
You can't toast that in a drop in the slot type.
No, I really
toaster.
Don't think so. So, like, you have a toaster oven, which is the perfect way, I think.
Yeah. And I can put the other thing is you can put a drip pan under it, you know, in a toaster oven, and you can't do that in a vertical toaster.
Yeah.
So if you're doing something that might drip onto mm-hmm. an element, you're okay. I have this brand new toaster oven, as I may have told
yes.
you.
Yes.
And I'm still
keeping it clean.
I'm still experimenting. And yes, it's really shiny.
Yeah.
But I'm learning a lot about it, because my old one had one function, and that was to toast. Yeah. And so it wasn't very, I didn't need to read a manual, you know what I mean? Yeah. But I roasted dinner in it last night for the first time. But one of the things I really love about it is that I can put something on a rack and toast it and not worry about something falling through. So.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would have to use my broiler.
So
in my
where
oven.
Are you in the quest to make toast, the chocolate bread toast?
Well, I want it to be chocolatier. Missed a syllable. It was frozen. That syllable was frozen.
So, it's okay. You made up the word. So, you know, you're the boss.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'd say I'm 60% just trying to figure out how to... rising has been a problem, getting it to rise. And I don't know if it's like the acidity of the chocolate or what it is, but just working on it, you know,
yeah.
not with any kind of timeline, but
cool though that you, I mean, you know, every time you do a test, then you have this
suffer.
Yeah. You have to suffer through a loaf of chocolate bread. Yeah. Don't throw me in the briar patch.
It's probably a combination of sugar, you know, which is acidic, and then the chocolate, which is acidic. And just,
and the yeast doesn't like that.
Yeah,
maybe.
Just trying to figure out how to make a good chewy loaf, which usually has to rise over a decent amount of time, and then have it be really chocolatey too. So that's what's going on. I have so many different cocoa powders, though, because if I make like a chocolate cake, remember it took me so long to figure out how to make a chocolate cake that I really loved, a really dark chocolate cake. And it was finally, I just mixed my own cocoa powder. So I have so many different cocoa powders that I can, you know, test with. So so that's fun too. I feel like a mad scientist.
Are you, when you're testing, I mean, essentially what you're doing is testing recipes.
Yeah, I think so. Because I'm not using a recipe that I found online or in a book or anything. I'm just trying to figure out how to make it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so.
And that's fun.
As you go through that process, are you, you're making notes
about
how much of and what you did so that you can tweak it?
Exacting notes. I mean, just like to the gram, everything. Because otherwise, how would I know, you know?
Yeah, I know. It is the thing about testing recipes that I can't stand because my brain is not that. That's a real serious, hardcore left brain activity, that whole charting of information. And you know, my brain takes a look at that process and goes, no.
I worked in a lab many years, though, so I think that it's just second nature, you know?
It's the discipline. I mean, it's a serious discipline.
Discipline. Ooh, I have discipline. Ooh.
Maybe
I'm too lazy to stir-fry vegetables. I don't know if I have discipline.
You have selective discipline. We probably all do.
So another thing I've been thinking about is cheesecake.
Really?
I know that sounds kind of silly, but I haven't made cheesecake for years. And again, I think it's kind of like the wontons and the egg rolls. I did my lifetime's allotment because I had a cheesecake recipe that I really, really liked. And I made it in like my 20s and 30s. And then I just got really tired of it. I think I just had like my lifetime's allotment of cheesecake. So recently I tried making the recipe again, and it is not the same. And I think that's probably because it was decades ago that I made it. It's ingredient change, you know?
Oh, definitely that. And maybe taste change too.
I don't think so, because the thing that that I loved about it was the texture.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's the thing with a cheesecake that's hard, is getting like the exact right texture. Yeah. And so now I got to start working on that again.
Have you ever done a Basque cheesecake, which they're very trendy right now, but they're ancient. And texture I really like in a cheesecake.
You know, I haven't made one, but I play cards with a group of ladies, friends, and somebody always hosts and has a treat, and LaVon made Basque cheesecake once, and it was delicious.
It is really good.
Yeah, really, really good.
And it has that really dark top on
it makes it look rustic rather than like weird and perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like food that looks rustic.
Yeah, me too. And tastes good.
Yeah. So otherwise, hey, I was wondering, when you boil an egg, I mean, that's such a simple thing, but how do you do it? Everybody seems to have a method, you know?
My method is this. I always have eggs at room temperature. When I buy a dozen eggs, I take them out of the cart and put them in the basket on the counter, and that's where they live until they're gone.
Okay.
And then the other dozen, because I buy two at a time, goes in the fridge. So I start with room temperature eggs, mm-hmm. and depending on whether or not I'm doing hard or soft boil, I mean, if it's a soft boil, then I'm boiling the water first.
Okay.
And lowering and the eggs into it and timing them at exactly 5.5 minutes.
Okay.
If I'm doing
hard boiled.
Yeah. I've done it a bunch of different ways, but my current favorite way is to wait till the water boils, put them all in there, and boil them for 9 minutes,
okay.
and put them in an ice bath immediately.
Okay.
And it seems to be a more reliable way, for me anyway, to not have the gray ring around the yolk.
For me, I have a exact method too, but it's different. So I put the eggs in a saucepan.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to burp. How embarrassing. Okay, no, I'm not. I'm just going to feel uncomfortable. Okay, so then I fill it with water, like a finger's joint over the eggs at least. So they're okay. not like just right up to the very tippy top of the eggs. And then, so it's cold water. Put it on the stove on high heat until it boils. Then take it off, cover it, and let it sit for 14 minutes in the hot water. And that, for me, does exactly... There we go. The same thing where I very reliably don't get any green gray rings.
Right.
And I just don't want it to be ugly like that, you know,
yeah.
if it doesn't have to be, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, how many batches of egg salad can we make, which is about the only thing that gets you, you know, that disguises that whole.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a.
Ring. But they're not as pretty. You know, it's then you have like that. Delicious gray filling, because that gray really takes over, you know?
Yeah, if it's a big deal. So,
yeah.
I mean, it appears in a variety of intensities
yes,
and,
yes.
you know, thicknesses in
yeah.
there.
Oh. Like a smoke ring on brisket.
I tried something new last night.
Really? What?
I tried a new salmon recipe. And,
oh, really?
You know, I love wild salmon, mm-hmm. and I... kind of think that I shouldn't mess around with it very much. I mean, I really just like it with butter, lemon.
Super simple.
Yeah.
Because it's so delicious.
Yes, it's so delicious. And I don't really care how it gets prepared. If you don't mess with it too much, it's delicious. And usually I'm just baking it in the oven. Once in a while, I will do it on a stovetop. But this one I tried exactly, and you know, we've talked about this before, with a brand new recipe, I do it exactly as it's written just to see what might happen.
Yeah, that's so smart, though.
And so this one was a sheet pan recipe, Linda Perkins.
You know how I feel about those.
Oh, me too.
The potatoes and the salmon
too.
Will get done at the very same time.
They are on the pan together, but they don't go in the oven together.
Okay.
And I did it in my new little convection
toaster oven.
Yeah, countertop toaster oven. And it worked really well in there. And because there's only two of us, the whole sheet pan concept is generally lost on me, because I'm not going to make a quarter sheet full of dinner for two people. But the little, I guess it would be like an eighth sheet size.
Okay.
Was perfect. They wanted me to use miniature Yukon Gold or cut-up Yukon Golds for the potatoes, and I didn't have that, but I had some really nice locally grown fingerling potatoes,
oh,
so
nice.
I did that. The thing that you dressed those with before they went in the oven was a combination of whole grain mustard and olive oil.
Oh.
And I just put that in a bowl, whipped it up, and then tossed them around in there a bunch and dumped them on the sheet pan, put it in the oven for about, they suggested 20 minutes, but I didn't have cut up potatoes. I left them whole. They're fingerlings. I figured they're fine. They needed a little bit longer, but they were fine.
Yeah.
And then at some point when your potatoes are almost done, you kind of scoot them off to the side and you put the salmon on it. And the salmon has been skin removed and then coated liberally with horseradish mayonnaise.
Really? That
into
sounds...
which a bunch of lime zest has been.
That sounds so overpowering, though. Is it?
No.
It's okay,
so
wow.
It's so delicious.
Okay, wow.
It's 3 tablespoons, I think, of... Oh, man, I'm... No, I think it's 3 tablespoons of mayonnaise and 2 of horseradish.
Okay.
But it is really delicious when you cook it. And the lime zest is really, really lovely in there.
I never would have thought of putting those together
it's
on salmon.
It's so moist.
Okay.
So, and as you know, you don't cook salmon very long. Mm-hmm. It cooks in no time at all. Both of those things were really good. Where I went wrong, I think, well, it wasn't really wrong. It's just that it could have been even better. You're supposed to wedge up the lime after you zest it, mm-hmm. and then squeeze fresh lime over the salmon when you serve it. You know, put a wedge on the plate. And I forgot. Okay. When I was getting ready to clean up the kitchen, I found the wedges on the cutting board. So it would have been even better, I think, with a squeeze of fresh lime juice, which would have made the richness of everything be probably absolutely perfect, but we both really liked it, and okay. I thought, ooh, that whole horseradish mayo thing would be great on chicken too.
My grandma used to do a thing where she would roast chicken with mayo on it,
yeah,
and it always turned out really good. Not horseradish, but you know, if I make fish, I either grill it or I poach it, just because I bake for a living and I don't want fish in my ovens.
Oh, right.
So, but I think that would probably be really good grilled.
Yeah, I bet it would too. And it would work fine.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't do the potatoes on the same thing, and you know, but yeah. I bet that would be really good. Okay, I'll try it. Dale loves horseradish.
I'll send you a link to the recipe.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we love horseradish too, and so I was just kind of surprised because it's not something I would normally do to fish.
Yeah, yeah. Not horseradish. I would never think of that.
Yeah, or mayonnaise.
Yeah, yeah.
But I recommend it. It was good.
Wow.
It was good. I want to take a quickie second here and remind everybody that Food Talk is a co-production of Coast Community Radio, that it would be KMUN, and North Coast Food Web, thanks to both of those fine organizations, and also urge you to go to their websites, which you will be happy you did if you do, KMUN.org and NorthCoastFoodWeb.org.
Nice. Let's see. Have you made anything else recently?
I'm sure I have. I wonder what it was.
Well, let me ask you this. When you make lasagna, do you cook the noodles before you make it?
Yes, I do. I had a whole... I don't make lasagna as much anymore because really it is a big deal. And for 2 people, it is uncalled for, I think. And also, my husband and I are both on kind of a, I would say, lackadaisical weight loss thing where we are actually losing weight. And the last thing we need to do is eat a big honking pan of lasagna,
yeah,
which he
yeah.
would love. He loves pasta. But for a while, when I was actually making lasagna regularly, I went on this whole tangent of using the no boil lasagna.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really like it as much.
I don't either.
I like it because you don't have to deal with it.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I don't.
I just don't know if it would work. I've never tried it, like, with regular noodles. I've never tried it. I don't know if it would work. But you know how lasagna so often turns out pretty watery, and then you have to let it sit and sit and sit to not be soupish.
And you think that's because of the pre-boiled noodles, probably?
I don't know. I just really don't know. And,
It is always better the second day.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that lasagna is one of those things that it behooves us to make it a day ahead or more.
Yeah. And I hate to make the mistake of making it and then wrecking it, like, you know, trying it, because that's a lot of ingredients to wreck if it doesn't turn out.
Yeah. And expensive ingredients.
And you'd think if it did work, somebody would have tried it. Yeah. And posted it on the internet.
Yeah. You want to be able to slice lasagna, not have to ladle it out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for sure. I don't know. I don't make pasta as often as I should because I do have a pasta lover in my house. but, and what could be easier than, I mean, lasagna is not labor free like a lot mm-hmm. of pasta is, so easy that you can do it, you can make the entire dinner in the time it takes the pasta to boil. So yeah. I really should get on that.
No, I'm not saying that.
No, I just should.
And I wonder if I boiled the noodles a lot less. Like, you know how, like, when you're boiling the noodles,
yeah.
the frilly part gets done before the middle does.
What
you
about
know?
Al dente? Yeah.
Yeah, like way less. Like, you know, the package says 10 minutes for lasagna. What if I just did 5?
Yeah, that's what I wonder. They would be just barely beginning to be pliable,
yeah,
I would think.
I just don't
that
know.
Might be really the answer.
Because I saw some kind of a video online where a woman was making lasagna and she's like, oh, I never boil the pasta. But it was flat pasta. It wasn't frilly.
Yeah.
So it looks suspiciously like the no-boil pasta.
It's the no-boil
yeah,
pasta.
Yeah. Of course you don't boil it because that's what the box says,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So, but
you know, there's always the make-your-own pasta thing.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
How much can I do?
When I moved into the house we're living in now, where we've been for about 11 years, I put my pasta roller in its box,
mm-hmm.
and it's still in it.
Oh.
I'm like, what am I thinking?
There's, no, I definitely have one, but...
Yeah. Although I got to say, having lived in places where it was easy to buy fresh lasagna,
mm-hmm.
I mean, not fresh lasagna, fresh pasta mm-hmm. in a variety of ways... I would do that quite often because there ain't nothing like it.
Oh, like if we had like a Pasta Works here or some store like that, gosh,
yeah.
that'd be so great. There, when our house got destroyed, I was making pasta. Actually, you know what I think I was doing? I was making crackers because I always roll them through
oh.
the pasta maker. And that's the only
oh.
way I can get them thin enough that they don't taste like just pie crust gone bad, you know?
yeah.
So I had that all set up in the kitchen. We went to, what's that called? The Liberty for some show, and then came home and the storm started. And then when the trees came down on the house, they broke the skylight and a whole bunch of glass
oh.
fell down in the pasta maker. And you know what? I was kind of like, yay! Because there's no way you can clean that out. You know,
no,
you can't like,
you're done.
Oh, it's clean now. There's no more glass in it. Nope, you know, that has to get thrown away. And so I was just kind of like, yay! I was So that's it.
Liberated.
I don't have to do that anymore.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you could have made that decision at any point.
I know. But that's not something I would do. You know,
it's
I'm like, I have to say that. Yeah.
Giving you permission. Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah. And I used to work in a place where the pasta was made fresh every night. When I was on shift, I would be making the dough ahead of time, you know, so that it could just be, it would get portioned and
rest.
It would get rolled out on when somebody ordered some.
Wow.
And it was really just a bowl of buttered noodles was
yeah.
great because
yeah.
of that, you know.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
And I do see people on the interwebs cutting pasta by hand with a knife. I know it can be done. There's pulled noodles. I know
yeah.
we don't have to, like, clamp the thing on the edge of the drain board and do it, but, yeah.
I have an attachment for a mixer now, and that works really good.
Oh,
but
yeah, that's a great
eh.
one.
Eh.
I didn't get that attachment on purpose.
Yeah, see? You know, there's a, I make really pretty pasta. And when I say I make, I should say I have made in the past and I know how to make, but I haven't made it recently. But so if you make pasta dough and you color it with some kind of coloring, so you make a batch and maybe you divide it into three colors or three batches and you color two of them and one is plain. And then you roll out sheets and what you do is you have one sheet that's long and then you just brush it with water, put the So say you have a red sheet and then you brush it with water and then you have the plain sheet, the white sheet, and you put that down on top of it and you brush it with water. And then like the green sheet for Christmas and you brush it with water. And then you cut the short way, you cut slices that are quite thin and then you put those through the roller and then you get striped pasta.
Oh.
Yeah. And so then I would cut them thin enough so they came out so they were just thick enough so that if I cut them into rectangles, I could pinch them into bow ties, you know?
Oh, nice.
And those were really pretty.
Yeah.
But that's how you get any of that striped pasta is you just brush them with water between and then cut them the short way and then run that through the roller and it sticks.
And are you coloring with like beets and greens, or are you just...
No, you can. But I mean, I was using gel food color. That's,
yeah.
Because of cookie decorating, that's what I had.
Yeah.
So I didn't go
buy
some
depending on what you're doing with that pasta anyway, my feeling has often been, because I've had the beet red pasta and the spinach pasta or whatever, but by the time you get sauce or whatever else on it, it's kind of beside the point in terms of flavor.
Yeah.
It isn't terrifically flavorful.
I think
crazy about squidding.
I think it's just for color.
Yeah.
And I think that, squidding pasta has like a weird mouthfeel to me.
Yeah, I'm not real crazy about it.
But I think it's for like a celebration type feel, especially if you're making, you know, striped ravioli or something like that. But I've bought pasta that is colored in a box and then I boil it up and the color is gone. And I'm like, oh.
Wait, we should have eaten that right as a snack right out of the box.
Yeah. Crunch, crunch.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's really cold. So it's getting to be soup and stew season, I think.
Which is fun.
I know it is. I'm going to get out my crock pot this afternoon. Although I think I just thawed out some chicken livers. So I think that's what's for dinner tonight.
Oh, really? How do you do them?
I just do them and I pan fry them, but I toss them in, you know, egg wash and then a mixture of flour and fine cornmeal or corn flour.
Okay.
I like the crispiness of the corn on there. And salt and pepper, a little garlic powder.
My dad was so into organ meats of every kind that I have also done my lifetime a lot.
You've done enough of that.
I think it's just when you're a kid and you want macaroni, you know, and you're given brains, it's just, ugh.
Yeah. It has so much to do with how
they're introduced.
Yeah, and how they're cooked. I really, I got to say, I like most of them. I haven't had all of them, but I like sweetbreads. I like liver. I like, I've had kidneys. I don't know.
I don't think I've had chicken liver except in a pate, which is really good. But we were always fed beef liver.
Oh, yeah. And I like that, too. And for both of those kinds, I always serve them with caramelized onions and sometimes bacon and and mashed potatoes with peas. I mean, there are things you have to have with that. And with chicken livers, you've got to have gravy. So anyway, not exactly a low-cal meal.
Well, I remember like in the 70s in Weight Watchers, you had to eat liver once or twice a week.
I know.
Beef liver. And you had to make your own ketchup. It was the strangest thing. And it's I'll make beef liver, but it's going to have bacon.
commercially offered weight loss programs are always scrambling for something new or
a gimmick.
Or coming up with random rules that make no sense whatsoever. And then the next year they change their whole minds about that. So.
I always thought that they were just trying to get us not to eat twice a week. That was their...
That might be really effective. I don't know. But as far as I can tell, at my advanced age, the only way to successfully long-term lose weight is to eat less food.
Yeah.
That is the way. I don't care what anybody else says. Save your money.
And to eat your... I'm driving my vegetables. I'm driving my green edibles. Oh, I started so low. I'm driving my vegetables around. Why did I start so low?
I'm
driving my broccoli. I'm driving my cauliflower. Driving a bushel of corn home. Stay warm, everybody.
Thank you, Linda Perkins.
Bye, Marianne.